So I'm going to be in the book of John, which is the fourth one in the New Testament. I'm going to be in John somewhere around the 14th chapter. So one thing that we hear a lot, especially now in the year 2020, you know, we hear a lot about obeying, obedience, you know, conform, do what you're supposed to be doing. You should do this. And a lot of it, I'm sure, has good intentions. But one thing that I do know is that Jesus always has the best intentions for me. So, yeah. So if he says something, then I know that it's got to be something for my good, right? One thing I want to talk about today is everyday obedience. You know, that simple discipline. You know, as a Christian, that's what we need, is everyday obedience, meaning every day we're obedient to the Word of God. Now, to some, that might sound militant. You know, everyday obedience, you got to do what you're told. Don't ask questions, let's do it. But if you actually read the Bible and try to understand where it's coming from, you can quickly know that that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a blind, line up and do what you're told type of obedience. We're talking about an obedience out of love. You know, everything that the Bible tells us is from a position of love. So, if I want to show that I am in love with Jesus, and that's what it takes to be a follower of His, it's going to be really hard to follow someone if you don't actually care about them, right? But the way I show that is with my everyday actions, right? So if I was going to tell you that I'm going to come up here and speak to you today about Jesus, and I'm a follower of Jesus, I call myself a Christian, but then you see me a couple hours later, and I'm flipping off the cops and speeding through town or something, you would probably wonder, oh, wait a minute here. Something's not lining up. He's saying one thing, but, you know, I know kind of what the Bible says, and I don't think it says flip off the cops and run away. You know. So, what we have to do is make sure that, one, we're doing what the Bible says, but we're doing it in the right perspective. You know, it's one thing, and this may just be from when I was growing up and I was more immature, not immature being dumb, but like not having a mature mind and not really understanding things. But when I was a kid and growing up, you went to church and that's what you did. It was just what you did in America. You know, I went to church because it was Sunday. But as I got older, I realized you don't go to church because it's Sunday. You go to church because that's where your fellow believers are. You know, Jesus is going to be there. I know that, but he's with me all the time anyway. So I just bring him there because he lets me. So one thing we have to do when we're thinking about obedience is getting the right perspective. So starting off, we have to understand the will of God. Now, there's a lot of misconfusion, if that's even a word, on what the will of God is. Like, how am I, this little guy on earth in Ohio, how could I know what the will of God is? There's no way. He's God. But if you think about it, that's why he wrote us the word. That's why we have it. So we know what his will is for our life. Quickly, I just remember, you know, John 10:10. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give you life. Jesus said that, right? He's telling us that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life. But not just life. Life that you can have to its fullest. You know, he restored us back to our fullest life. So if I know that, then I can understand that if something happened to someone I love, let's say they were killed in a car crash or something like, let's just go with that. They were killed in a car crash. And I think, okay, God, why did you orchestrate that car crash to kill them? Well, I would know, wait a minute. John 10:10 tells me, devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. So I'm not here to tell you that I have the whole Bible and everything figured out. I'm not. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not even an ordained minister. I'm just a Christian. You know, I work at the sheriff's office in Tuscarawas County. I'm in charge of the 911 center. I'm just an everyday guy. So I don't have 20 years of a master's degree of looking in whatever the words are. I don't even know what the words are for studying the Bible, you know. But what all I know is that when I read the Bible, it tells me that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give a new life. So I think that a lot of times we give God a bad rap. You know, things happen to our life. Not that he doesn't care about what happens in our life, but it doesn't mean that he's always orchestrated everything that's happened to you. A lot of times we've done it to ourselves, right? He does tell us that he can turn things that happen to us for his good. So even if we get ourselves in a situation that we shouldn't have, just because whether we chose to do that or we didn't know any better and we find ourselves in that situation, he tells us that he's not going to leave us there. He can actually use that for his good. So understanding the will of God, knowing that he has the best for us and that things happened in our life. You know, God made the earth, right? If we think back to Genesis, it tells us God made the earth, and not just the earth, but everything in the earth, right? Okay. So if I think back to Genesis, I'm remembering before Adam and Eve gave in to temptation and fell to sin. You know, Adam and Eve, there was the serpent, which is, I'm guessing, the devil, came and tempted them, had them go against what God had said. So that was sin, right? Before that happened, there was no death. There was none of this stuff that we see today. There was no COVID-19 and all the different things, diabetes and all the things that we deal with every day. There was none of that. So that tells me that's what he intended for us. Because that was before we messed it up. Right? So that's what I have to think about. Okay, so in the very beginning, God created us, and not just to create us to like have little minions, but to create us for a relationship with him. We know that because he could have chose any descriptive word to describe himself. He chose Father. Right? He could have said anything. He could have said ruler and lead, and those things are in there, and that's part of him. But the descriptive word he has chosen is Father. And we see that when Jesus came to earth. Jesus said, I only speak what the Father says. He reiterates the Father aspect of it. Okay? So that's what we have to remember. All right. So we got the right perspective. We know that we were created, and when we were created, we were placed on earth, and earth was perfect. And by perfect, I mean there was no heartache, there was no pain, there was no separation from God. That's why there was none of those things, because we were united with God, we were one, he was our Father. Okay? And then, for some reason, we stopped listening to our Father, and we turned and we listened to someone else, and that's when the fall happened. Sin is doing anything that was against God, right? So the fall came. And now because man chose himself over God, sin crept in. Now, God could have left us there. He could have said, well, you chose, you deserve that. And a lot of times we hear that a lot. Well, you know, that's look what you got yourself into. You chose that path. You reap what you sow. Right? We hear that. And those explanations may be correct to what we think, but it's not correct to what God has in store for us. You know, if God planned on telling you, you reap what you sow, and you stay there, he never would have sent a part of himself, which is Jesus, to earth to bring you back to him. Okay? So no matter what we find ourselves in today, know that Jesus' plan for you is to not have you stay there. He doesn't even think about it. In the Bible, he tells us that there's a sea of forgetfulness. Whether it's a real sea, or he's just using that as an amazing description of when we say, I'm sorry, if I could take that back, I would. He says, okay, I won't even think about that anymore. I don't see you that way. That's how I know that no matter what I chose in this life, whatever I've done, whatever's happened to me, if I ask for forgiveness and say, you know what, Jesus, I was stupid, if I could take that back, I would. He says, okay, well, I don't see you that way anyway. You don't reap what you sow. You now reap what I've sown. You know? No matter what's in your history, no matter what's in your bloodline, no matter what has happened to the generations before you. You know, we see all these things that happen, you know, well, my dad was an alcoholic, so I'm an alcoholic. Or my dad didn't have patience, so I don't have patience. Or my mom ran around town, so that's what I do. The greatest thing ever is when we say, Jesus, you know what, that's not me. I'm sorry, if I could take it back, I would. That's not me. I ask for you, and I want to be you. He says, okay, great. That's amazing. I don't even think about that anymore. That bloodline is cut off. You're now part of me. And we actually start a new line with him. So God now is our Father. And he says, all that stuff that you've done, whether it's you chose it or it just happened, I don't think about that anymore. You're starting new with me. That's what he means by a new creation. You're starting new from this second with me. I don't even think about that anymore. So if I'm thinking of this as the will of God, and I see all this different stuff in the Bible, and I know that everything that God has for me is good, that's how I know I can have everyday obedience. Again, when we started out, we're talking about it's not like in the military where you do what you're told. You know, last week we talked about Veterans Day, and you know, I have some time in the Army. I said when I first joined, I was 5'9", 130 pounds. I was nothing. I got out, I was like 6'1", 100 and almost 90 pounds. You know, I kind of grew up in 8 years. But in the military, I didn't question authority in a bad way, but I usually had questions, and my sergeant hated it. One thing I remember is, I don't know if anybody knows a square knot. The way you tie a square knot, right over left, left over right. That's the way the Army teaches it. Right over left, left over right. Well, I was over in Iraq in the desert, and I'm like, you know, if you do left over right, right over left, it does the same thing. My sergeant, no, it doesn't. Yeah, it does, look. So I took my rope. I'm like, here, how did I tie that? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, exactly. You can do it either way. He's like, no, the Army teaches it's right over left, left over right. That's the way you do it. That's that blind obedience, do as you're told, don't ask any questions. That's not what we're talking about. The amazing thing is, we're talking about an everyday obedience to where we put ourselves in the right perspective, in the right line with Jesus. Okay? So, we know that when we ask for forgiveness of our sins, when we first start out with Jesus, and we say, you know what, Jesus, I've done a lot of stupid things. Please forgive me. If I could take those back, I would. But now I'm yours. If you read in Romans, it talks about ourself, our person. You know, because of the fall, because of Adam and Eve's decision way back when, we now have this, I guess you can call it a battle, this inner turmoil, because we have ourself, our flesh, the things that we, of the world that we want to do, that our flesh wants to do. But then once we're born again, and we have a new being inside of us, a new spirit, Holy Spirit comes inside of us, now we have the desire to do what is of God, right? And that's where baptism comes into play. Okay? So now we see baptism, and we hear a lot of questions a lot of times. Well, if I'm not baptized, can I still get to heaven? Or if I'm not baptized, what does that mean? What if I would die right now? And the amazing thing is, what we continually see in the Bible and on our venture with Jesus, it's never what you do. It's always about your relationship and your perspective with him. So if you're saying, well, I don't want to be baptized because of whatever reason, well, then, yeah, that could be a problem, right? But if I just gave my heart to Jesus and I walked outside and wham, got hit by a car and I wasn't baptized, does that really matter? No, it's more than that. It's more than what we do. It's more than the things that we do. It's all about our relationship with him. So this obedience that we're talking about, that's how we know that we're on the right path. So when we have the right relationship and we know that what God has for us is good, then we can start appreciating and following through with our obedience. Because it's really hard to obey something when you don't really agree with it, or you don't understand why. So, we find here in John 14, they just had the Last Supper. Jesus is with the disciples, and they're all hanging out. They're talking about some things. Jesus is trying to tell them, you know, I'm going to go away. I'm going to be crucified, but I'll come back, and you know, Holy Spirit's going to come back, and it's going to be even better. They're not understanding some things. Let's back up, actually, to John 13, verse 31, just before chapter 14. So we're seeing here, and they're all in the upper room. They're hanging out, and Judas just leaves. So Judas, the one that is going to betray Jesus, just leaves the room. It says, after Judas left, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation, so it may be a little different from whatever you're reading, but it says the same thing. After Judas left that room, Jesus said, the time has come for the glory of God to surround the Son of Man, and God will be greatly glorified through what happens to me. And very soon, God will unveil the glory of the Son of Man. My dear friends, I only have a brief time left to be with you, and then you will search and long for me. But I tell you, what I told the Jewish leaders, you'll not be able to come where I am. Right here on verse 34. So I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So Jesus is one-upping. So earlier when Jesus was walking around with the disciples, some Pharisees, some Jewish leaders were trying to trick Jesus and trying to change his words around. We see that somewhat today too, right? But some religious leaders try to catch Jesus in a precarious situation, and they said, okay, Jesus, out of all the commandments, which ones are the best ones? Which one's the top priority one? Because if you look in the Old Testament, there's 600 and however many commandments. So they're trying to trap Jesus, and Jesus is like, well, the greatest is love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength. That means every part of you, love God. He says, and the second one is just as important, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, he's telling that to all the Jewish leaders. Everyone's gathered around, so everyone hears that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that, we know, is what we're supposed to do, right? So everything in the Old Testament boils down to those two things. I like the Cliff Notes version. It's a lot quicker to read. But then when he's talking to his fellow disciples, when they're in a room just with them, he says, I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. So Jesus has been hanging out with the disciples for 3 years now. They've seen a lot of crazy stuff. I don't even know. The Bible says the books of the world can't even contain how many things Jesus did while he was here. So if I'm a disciple and I see all those things, and now Jesus says, hey, I give you a new commandment. You now love each other just as much as I have loved you. If I think about where there's some stories in the Bible, the disciples usually were kind of arguing back and forth, who's the greatest disciple? Who's going to be sitting beside Jesus in heaven on the left or the right? You know. But now Jesus one-ups it and says, hey, you need to love each other just as much as I have loved you. And why is that? Is that way the world can see that you're one of my true followers. That's one of the main reasons we do it. A lot of people say that it's the preacher's job to go out there and evangelize and tell people about Jesus. And it's our job just to come to church. But I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. In fact, Jesus just said it right there, that we need to love each other just as much as he has loved us. And that's how they are going to know that we're true followers of Jesus. And that's what changes the world. That's what changes us. So reading on here, And Peter, so after verse, so we're at 34, so I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. Continuing on, Peter injected, but Master, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you won't be able to follow, but one day you will follow me there. Peter said, what do you mean? I'm not able to follow you now. I would sacrifice my life to die for you. Jesus answered, would you really lay down your life for me, Peter? Here's the absolute truth. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will say three times that you don't even know me. So here's Peter, before he has the Holy Spirit, and he's not thinking about what Jesus is thinking about. Jesus just told him, hey, I'm going to go someplace and you can't follow me there. And that's all Peter can fixate on. Wait a minute. Here's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And now you say you're not going to be here? I'll die for you. I wouldn't do that. And Jesus just telling them, hey, I give you a new commandment. You need to love each other just as much as I have loved you. And Peter's not even, it's not even registering with Peter because he's still thinking about, oh my gosh, you're going to leave us? What am I going to do? I would lay my life down for you. And Jesus challenges that and says, would you really? Because if Peter actually did lay down his life, he wouldn't be thinking about himself. Because that's what that statement was. Wait a minute, you're not going to be here? Well, I'll give up my life for you. And it was out of a selfish mindset. Like, I'll do that because I don't want to be on this earth without you here. He was thinking about himself, right? So Jesus one-ups him and says, would you really? I tell you this, man. Here in the next couple hours, you're going to say you don't even know me. And he did. Peter had a chance to say that, yeah, I'm one of his followers. That's my Savior right there, Jesus. But he didn't. And later on, once we find out, oh, you know what Jesus was talking about was true. He did die on the cross, but then 3 days later he was raised. And when he found Peter several days later, he didn't leave Peter there. He didn't say, all right, Peter, well, I told you you're going to deny me, and look what he did. So you can just go over there, you reap what you sow, stay over there, I'll catch you on the next eternity. No, he didn't. He said, man, Peter, I know you're better than this. I didn't even look at you. Peter came up to him and said, I'm sorry. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. I'm sure they didn't talk like that. I'm sorry, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And Jesus says, I know. I've already forgiven you. Now, and then he restores him back to where he needed to be. So now in chapter 14 of John, we're going to start. It says, don't worry. This is Jesus talking. Don't worry or surrender to your fear. For you've believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. So don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you've believed in God, now trust in me also. And then he talks about how, you know, he's going to go to heaven and prepare a room for us. And if he goes there, he'll come back and take us there. So in verse 12 of chapter 14, it says, this is still Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to Him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Back on 13, for I will do, this is Jesus talking, Jesus, the Son of God, for I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask in my name. Meaning, not just saying in Jesus' name, but in his will, like something that lines up with the word and the will of God. And how we know that is, and that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. So if we think about the time that Jesus was here on the earth, the time that the Bible was written about him, that's him showing what the Father is really like. That's how I know what the will of God is, not only for us, but for mankind. Again, you know, God sent Jesus here. Jesus came to earth not to judge the earth and throw us and to the pits of hell, right? No, he came here to save us. He came here so we can overcome the world. So when Jesus was here, it's already telling us here, the Son will show what the Father is really like. So everything that happened in Jesus' life, especially the 3 years that we talk about and we get with the first four books of the Bible, that shows us what the Father is really like. I don't remember a blind man coming up to Jesus and Jesus saying, well, you know what? You shouldn't have slid in the home head first. You're blind now. Sorry. You got what you deserve. No. They probably didn't play baseball back then. But anyway, Jesus, what? He dips down. I don't know why he chose to do this, but it was really cool. Gets some mud, spits in it, puts it on the guy's eyes. Boom, he can see. Well, that tells me that if I'm blind, God really wants me to be able to see. And all those different miracles that Jesus performed were to show us what God is really like. A lot in the Old Testament, we read all these things about God did this, God did this, God did this. I don't know, did he? Or were we just thinking wrong about who God really is? I think God gets blamed for a lot of things that he has nothing to do with. But the good thing is, he's big enough to take it. And he waits on us to realize, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I put all that on you, and that was not you. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And he doesn't hold that against us. The Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, I'll do it for you. In verse 15, love empowers you to obey my commands. In another version, it might be NIV, it says, if you love me, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey all that I command. Well, that's obedience. And by everyday obedience, I mean doing it every single day. So what does Jesus command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That goes right along with love one another just as I have loved you. That's what he's talking about. So when I'm thinking about everyday obedience, I need to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength every single day in every decision that I make. That's being obedient. There may be some decisions that I am faced with that I need to say no to me. And it could be, we're talking about everyday stuff. We're not talking about, do I go turn this way and go to the dark side with the devil, or do I go this way and be with the angel and the light side? Yeah. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about everyday things like, I went to work today and I was 5 minutes late. Should I put on that I was actually here on time? Or no, do I go to my employer and say, sorry, I was 5 minutes late. I got hung up by a tractor, which happens to me all the time. I get behind tractors, but they need to do as well. But anyway, it's those everyday decisions. So I'm faced with that. If I try to lie and say, oh no, I was here on time, I put it on my time card, I'm now choosing me over God. Because that's showing them that I love me and my skin. My skin, not because I don't want to get in trouble. I love me more than I love Jesus. It's those everyday little decisions that we have to make sure that we're making. The one thing I talk about a lot is when we first get married. When you're first married, is your mindset? You'll see it a lot. Okay, so when I'm first married, I may have to remind myself, "Hey, I'm married now, yay!" After a while, it just happens. Like my mind has now changed, and I know that I'm married. I'm not saying that, I can't do this now because now I'm married. But what I'm saying is, do you understand the relationship there? Like when you first go into something, you may have to remind yourself, no, I'm married now. No, I'm married now. Or, when I joined the Army, I had to practice to become a soldier. After a while, I was a soldier. I didn't have to try to be a soldier, I just was. So in the very beginning, we know that we're going to have to try to be obedient. And by try, I mean we just have to make sure we know the right perspective that we're going into. Like, hey, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. And it's those everyday little tiny decisions that add up, and then eventually, it's just, that's who you are. A lot of times when we first start out, we'll think, all right, I'm going to try not to sin today, whatever it is, you know. Let's say anger. All right, today I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to try to not be angry. I don't want to be angry. I'm going to try. And then you blow off the handle at somebody. Eventually, if you do have the right perspective and you want to be who Jesus has created you to be and you keep with that, eventually it's going to happen. You're just not going to have anger anymore, because is Jesus angry? I mean, sometimes he might have a righteous anger, but I mean, is he just mad at people just because they're people? No. So it's an everyday obedience. Every decision that you make, every single day, adds up to the whole picture. So this time, especially 2020, we're hearing a lot of different things. I honestly have no idea what the truth is about a lot of different things, what social distancing and masks and all this different stuff. I have no idea. If they ask me to put a mask on, yeah, I go into Walmart. I got a mask on. Yeah, that's just what we do. It doesn't infringe on anything that on my Christian being. You know what I mean? But one thing I do know is that the only way I'm going to know if something does infringe on what God has said or what Jesus has planned for me is by reading the Bible. That's the only way that I'm going to know whether something lines up with this or something doesn't. The great thing is, Jesus even said that when Holy Spirit comes to us, He's going to remind us of everything that He's already told us. So, He's not even putting pressure on me to have to memorize everything that's in this book. If we have a submitted spirit to Jesus, if we say, yep, Jesus, you can have my life, I give it all to you, He tells us, hey, you know what? When you need it, I'm going to remind you what I've even told you. So know that with that everyday obedience, we're going to line up with the will of God. And the will of God for you is to have a full life with Him. That's what it's all about, is relationship. It's not about making sure you've got the correct number of Sundays that you came because you're an American and that's what Americans do. It's not even about don't say this or don't do that. It has nothing to do with any of these set of rules. It has everything to do with a relationship with Jesus. And knowing what the right will of God for your life is. His will for your life is to have a relationship with Him. That's pretty awesome. You know, just to think who God is and who I am, and to know that He wants to have a relationship with me. Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for allowing us all to gather today on a beautiful Sunday. Lord, we thank you that you've given your word to us. That way we can read and know who you are. Not have to guess about what the will is for us. To know who you are and what you have planned for us. Well, we may not know the particulars, but we know it's going to be good. Lord, I just ask you to give each one of us the confidence to place everything that we have, everything that is ours, in your hands. And little by little, give you more of it. Give up ourselves and give you more of us. That way we can be confidently, every day obedient to you. Because we know that you have everything that's good for us. In Jesus' name, amen.